Thank you, Pastor Kirk, for the nice introduction. what a joy it is to be here with you this morning. Good to see all of you. And it's so nice to see good friends like you. And you have been a great blessing to us and to our people. And I can't wait to come back here to speak. Thank you so much for this opportunity that you have given me. And we just came back in July. Since we were here last time, we traveled the world. I think we know everybody. And we were in India for 5 months, ministered there. And God is always doing great things there. And we praise God for that. And I have some slides, new ones. If any of you knew, if you don't know me, my name is Jacob. I'm representing Hope Ministries International, based right here in Canton, Ohio. And I'm going to show you some slides first, and then I'm going to share the Word of God with you. This is our headquarters in Mori, India. These are the children's home buildings. These are the some of the children that live there. These are from the jungle areas. Sponsors send gifts, and we take them and give it to them. This is our church at Mori, India. This is inside. 90% of the congregation were once Hindus. I'm praying for this boy. Our school and college are doing well. There are 500 students come from the surrounding villages. These are the college students. These are going to be teachers. This is the classroom. This is a computer class and kindergarten class. In the evening, they go home in the buses and come back in the morning. This is one of the children's homes. There are actually 65 students here. We buy school supplies, like clothes and all the supplies they need. This is another children's home in a jungle area. These are from the tribal families and poorest of the poor. And they are so grateful to be here in the home. These are all under fifth grade. This is the school building. We're distributing school supplies to them. That's my brother Joseph. And lunchtime, dinner time, they're celebrating Independence Day, August 15th, at the school. This is another children's home in one of the biggest cities. And this is their place for them to stay. Eating breakfast. This is a college dorm. We just started 3 years ago. Refugee children that plan to go to college, they stay here and attend college. These are the girls, and boys are in a different place. We have a gospel meeting when we visited that home. And this is this year in the jungle area. We didn't expect more than 200 people, and about 1,000 people showed up. Some people traveled 2-3 hours by three-wheelers through the jungles. We fed all those people lunch and supper. And we conducted Bible classes for 2 days for the tribal pastors that work in the tribal areas. And he's one of the guest speakers speaking. This is one of the groups of evangelists that we support. We provide them bicycles, drums, and lanterns. And this is one of the pastor's house. I went inside, didn't even have room to stand up. We've been drilling bore wells, and this is a bore well we are drilling way up in the mountains. And these bore wells are we go down to about 200 feet. And these people, when they don't have water, they go to the rivers and canals and carry water for a mile, 2 miles. And they are so happy to have these bore wells and their health. These are carrying from rivers. Tribal woman, one of our staff members. There are a lot of them like this in the remote jungles, isolated areas. That's a small house. That's how they live. That's the house behind them. We were up in these mountains. One of our pastors praying with the people. These are some of the tribal women people. We conducted a small gospel meeting there to dedicate the bore well. And here he is sharing the gospel with them. This is under a tree. We conducted a gospel meeting in our travels. We started a new church here. And this is another new building we are working on. These people are so happy. They came with the drums and playing and dancing. And here they are baptizing. His name is David. I'm going to talk about him a little bit. These four young men were raised in our children's home. The right side, the one I'm going to talk about him, his name is Chitti Babu. This one also came to visit us. He was raised in our children's home. These are our children, Stacy and Jesse. Stacy is 17 and Jesse 19. And they just joined college. Let's say a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to you for your love and kindness towards us, Lord. Lord, thank you for this privilege to be with our brothers and sisters here. Lord, I ask you to anoint me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And give me words to share with them. And Lord, touch everyone who is here and their families. Lord, draw the people from the east, west, and north and south. And fill this place, Lord. And Lord, continue to use this church to expand your kingdom in the surrounding areas also, Lord. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As Pastor Kirk said, we know each other about more than 35 years. And we started the work 40 years ago. And since we started this ministry, we've been helping the children that are very poor, destitute children that comes to us. We don't go out to look for them. They come and ask us for help. So in these 40 years, we have hundreds and hundreds of children graduated and married now and have children and living with their families. And it's so blessing to see how God is blessing them. And the young man you saw in group four, he came to us when he was like 5-6 years old from a Hindu family. His dad worshipped a monkey god. And his mother died when he was very little. So they came and asked to help him and help them also. And he came in and he finished high school. And in the meantime, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. And after he finished high school, he said, I would like to work with the children if you give me an opportunity. So I gave him a job to take care of the children. And he has been there ever since. He is still taking care of them. We married him. And they have two children, two boys. And they both are in their 20s. They finished their masters and have good jobs now. And we prayed for his dad, but he never accepted Jesus. And he died that way. We were so saddened to see he went like that. But his brother and his family, they also became Christians. Praise the Lord. And he is teaching these children all these 30-some years now. And we praise God for that. And the young man I showed you, David, he was a gangster. He was into a lot of bad things. And he was arrested quite a few times. And one time he was going to be arrested and he ran from a place where he was living and went to the jungles to hide. And there was no job, no place to stay, no money to eat. And he was in desperate situation. And he was living under a bridge beside the river. And he said many times he thought about jumping into the river and kill himself. At the time, God sent a man that he knows. I think he was actually a relative of him. And he told him the story. And he took him in. And he mentored him. And he shared the gospel with him. And he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Praise God. And he's on fire for God now. Like when I was in the jungles one time to dedicate the borewells we drilled. And I ran into him and he told me the story, his life story. And how he was saved and how he has this burden to work with these tribal young people. There are so many young people finish their high education up to 10th grade in the jungles. When they want to go to college, these kids are from the refugee camps, from the children, families come from the next state, and they live between the two states. They are refugees. So, either state don't help them. They finish their elementary school, high school, and if they want to go to college, they can attend the college, but they don't provide them any place for them to stay. They have to leave their home to go to a college for a long way from the home. And these kids don't have this opportunity to stay in the hostel and attend the college. And he said, because there is no opportunity for them to go to college, they end up stealing to make a living and sell drugs. And work as a carriers of drugs from one place to another to the drug lords. And they ended up caught by the police and ended up in the jail many times. This is the kind of life they are living. And he told me, if you could provide a place for them, they will stay there and attend college. And I told them, let me pray about it. And immediately God spoke to me, help these kids. And I told them, find a place so we can rent and take these kids into this home. And they found a place. We rented that building. And now they are staying in there and they are going to college. And when they are there, they have an opportunity to hear the gospel and pray with them. The staff pray with them and teach them about the Lord. And by the time they finish their schooling, they become Christians. And they go back to their families and they tell them about Jesus and they come to know the Lord. And then they work in their villages and telling them that about Jesus. That's how this gospel is being spread through the children. And this young man is on fire for God. He's working in this children's home now, taking care of them. And these are the things that are happening through our children's home. And this year when we were planning to go arrange a crusade at one of our headquarters, and I felt led to move someplace. Everything was made, planned there at our headquarters to conduct the crusade. The guest speakers were booked. And all of a sudden, at the last minute, I felt led to cancel that and go to someplace. And everybody was concerned. But I said, God wants me to go someplace to preach. These people have been hearing this for 40 years. And God wants me to go someplace to where the lost people are. So when we prayed, God opened door for us to have a meeting in the jungle area. We conducted 3 days of gospel meetings. And we didn't expect more than 100, 200 people because no advertisement, nothing. And there were about 1,000 people showed up. Some people said they traveled 2-3 hours on a three-wheeler motorbikes and through the jungles, one way 3 hours and one way in the night, they go back home 3 hours. And we prayed for a lot of people, prayed for their sicknesses, and God touched them and healed them. There are so many of them stood up to give their lives to Jesus. And praise the Lord, what a wonderful way to reach these people. And God is opening up more doors. And at the same time, there is so much persecution is taking place in India. And our evangelists are some areas they are not allowed to go and preach. And sometimes they come and tear their churches down and beat them up. And these are the kind of problems we are facing. We're also facing about problems with the children homes. There is a lot of restrictions put on us, unnecessary restrictions, a lot of paperwork we have to do all the time. And so please pray that God will continue to use us to spread the gospel through the children and also through the evangelists. I would like to share with you a message. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 19. You all know this story. But before I go, I want to share with you about the borewells. We've been drilling borewells for the last 6 years. Almost 40 borewells we drilled so far. These are in the way back in the woods, in the remote jungles. Like when I went there to dedicate them, I was kind of surprised how they ever got the rigs up there on that mountains. And I asked them, how did you get this rigs up here to drill these borewells? They said, these people are so desperate, sometimes they made a makeshift road for them to go take that rig up there. And these people are in desperate need for water. They walk 1-2 miles to go to the rivers and canals and the water holes and carry water on their head for 1 or 2 miles. Because they are drinking this bad water, they are getting sick. They are suffering with malaria and typhoid fevers. And when we go there to drill the wells, they help as much as they can to drill these wells. And once we drill them, their health are being improved. And their hearts are being opened to the gospel. And our evangelists have a free time to go to these villages. They don't have to be scared to go to these villages. What they are going to do? Are we going to beat up? Are we going to chase down? But when we drill these wells, they have a free access to these villages. Sometimes if a new person goes to these villages, they use their bow and arrows and shoot them. And that's the kind of experience our evangelists have. So when we drill these bore wells, that gives them a free access to that village. And they go there and share the gospel and starting new churches. These are the people that are lost people. They don't hear anything about God there. They worship some idols. They live an isolated life from others. A group of like 10 families, 20 families on a mountain, and like that they live, and they never heard the name of Jesus. And when these evangelists go there and share the gospel, their hearts are being opened, and they give their lives to Jesus. Praise the Lord. And it's cost $2,000 to drill a bore well, and $20 to sponsor a child, and $30 to sponsor an evangelist. And please pray that God continue to use us to spread the gospel in India. Luke chapter 19. And now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that was lost." We all know this story. And if we look at this in chapter 18, verse 31, then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." Here, Jesus is at the end of his 3 years ministry. He was coming from Jordan, going to Jerusalem. And he was talking to his disciples. we are going to Jerusalem. That's where they are going to kill me. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again the third day. And they were on the way to Jerusalem. Before they get to Zacchaeus, there was another incident happened. From verse 35, there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. He was sitting beside the roadside and begging people. And when he heard the sound of people, and he called them, please help, please help. And this day, when Jesus, before he enters into Jericho, and this encounter take place, this man was on the roadside, sitting there, and all these people were walking, talking, making a lot of noise, praising God, praising Jesus. And he said, he asked somebody, what's going on? All these people, where are they going? Who is going? And somebody said, Jesus is passing by. He said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's not just a Jesus of Nazareth. He's the son of David. He's a prophet. He's a healer. He healed a lot of people. And he even raised the dead. And he even healed the blind. This is my chance today. I have to call him while he is near. I may never get this chance again. And he started calling, crying out to Jesus, Jesus, the Son of God, Son of David, have mercy upon me. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He saw this opportunity. Today is my day. All his life, his whole life was dark. He couldn't see anything. He can hear. He used his hearing to find out who he was. Who is traveling? When they said Jesus, he was all excited. He's the Son of God. He's passing by me. I should not let him go without touching me. And he called out. And the people that are going there, he said, tell him to be quiet. They don't have any compassion for him. Be quiet. He has no time for you. He's too busy. But he called even louder. He cried out loud, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard those words and he stood still and told those people, bring him down here. When they brought him down, he asked them, what do you want me to do for you? Here is a great opportunity for him. God bless me. Give me a good house. Give me food to eat so I don't need to beg. He didn't do any of those things. He said, help me to see. Heal me from my blindness. Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Verse 42. Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. All those people were saying about him, Jesus of Nazareth. And here, this blind man was crying out, Jesus, Son of David. He thought he is more than Jesus of Nazareth. He is a prophet. He's the Son of God. He has the power to heal. And he had faith on him. And he cried and cried when people were saying, be quiet, shut up. Jesus saw all that even before that happened. And he said, your faith has healed you. When we are in suffering and sickness, and we cry out to God, and he will hear us. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will heal you. I will hear you. That's our Jesus. And he healed him. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. He was completely healed. He saw everything the first time in his life. He was so excited, and he was so excited to see Jesus, and he was hanging on to him and praising him and walking with him to Jericho. And here they entered Jericho. And while they were going, there was another man named Zacchaeus. This healing of this blind man, that news spread quickly to the surrounding villages. Or he may have heard before that Jesus is going to pass this way. And this Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. And he was known by everybody. And everybody hated him. Nobody liked him, because he was collecting more than he's supposed to be. And he was putting pressure on his own people. So nobody liked him. So he heard that Jesus is coming. He didn't have any friends. He was probably lonely. He has all this money he acquired, but he didn't have any friends to talk to. And he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he came to see him. With a great desire, he came. And when he came to the roadside, there was all this crowd, and he was in the middle of the crowd. He couldn't see because he was short. He went to go between the people, and they didn't give any room for him to go to touch Jesus and to talk to him. And he tried everything to get to Jesus, but he couldn't. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree. And sitting there and waiting, he was so anxious to have a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus came by. He came to the tree and he stopped. And he looked up. And he called him by his name. Jesus knows his name. Jesus knew that he was on the tree. And he called him, come down quickly, Zacchaeus. I need to stay at your house tonight. Zacchaeus didn't think anything. I don't know, if I come down, they are going to beat us up, the other people or something. And he came down so quickly and received him. And when he received him, he took him to his house. All these people followed, and all these people were murmuring. Who is this man? We thought he's the Son of God. Why is he going to his house? Don't he know he's a sinner? Why is he going to eat with him? Why is he going to eat with the sinners? Why is he staying with the sinners if he's the Son of God? They all thinking they were all righteous. He's the only sinner here. And they murmured, and Jesus knew in his heart what they were thinking. And he said, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. This is the main purpose that I came from heaven to earth. He wanted them to see who he is, really is. All 3 years, he selected 12 disciples. And he kept them with him. They walked with him. They stayed with him. They watched when he did the miracles. And even though they were with him 3 years, they still had a doubt about him. There were so many people, even though they saw the miracles, the blind healed, the dead raised, and lame walked, all these miracles, when they saw, they praised him. When they're out of that place, they forgot. They really didn't know who he was. They were expecting Jesus to come and establish his kingdom and kick the Romans out of that place. He's going to be a king. But Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." Praise the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he's near. Call upon him when he is near. When we are in trouble, we seek after him and he will answer our prayers. Praise the Lord. And this man, Zacchaeus, after Jesus invited himself to his house. That's a miracle. And that's why all these people were so murmuring about him. And who is this guy? And when he went to his house, Zacchaeus received him as Lord and Savior, and his life was completely transformed, changed. And he said, "I give half of my goods to the poor. I give if anybody I steal from, I give back 4 times. Before this happened, he was a grabber. He was a taker, and he was taking all the money he could from the people. He became rich. He was selfish. When he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, his life was transformed from inside out. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's the transformation that took place in Zacchaeus' life. Here, these two men, blind Bartimaeus, used the opportunity that he had while Jesus was passing by. He wouldn't let him go without being touched by him. He called when everybody was saying, "Shut up. He has no time for you." He called, even cried out more. And he got the attention of Jesus. Jesus called him and said, "What do you need? What do you want me to do for you?" That's our Jesus. When we call in our desperate situations, when we are in need, when we call, he is the one that hears our prayers and answers our prayers and meet our needs. Praise the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18 to 20, Jesus said to his disciples, 11 disciples, before he was ascended to heaven, He called them and said, all the authority in heaven and on earth was given to me. I'm going to give you this authority to all of you who follows me. I want you to go and preach the gospel to every creature. All the earth, go into all the world and preach this gospel. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all the tribes, all the people. Some people think that's only for the disciples he gave this commission. But this commission is for every generation of people. We all need to go and share the gospel to the people that are lost. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, just not to preach, but to make disciples of the people. Work with them and teach them the depth of the word. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Then he told the disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Wait here until you receive the power from high. We all need the Holy Spirit to guide us. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. Our own words, no value. If the Holy Spirit is in us, if the Holy Spirit is speaking through us, lives will be transformed, lives will be changed, and people will be healed and come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And this is the commission that gave all of us. So, pray for God's Holy Spirit to be filled and to go and to preach. Everywhere we go, we need to share what we know, what the Holy Spirit gives us. That's when the whole world will be evangelized. Thank you so much. Please continue to pray for us. Pray for India. There is so much persecution is taking place. A lot of evangelists are struggling to go and preach because of this. So pray that God will continue to strengthen them and continue to have the doors open for us to go. There are millions of people still never heard the name of Jesus in India. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.
Amen, my brother. You know, the Lord is really stirring my heart around this same topic. So our hearts are beating in the same spot. Praise the Lord for that. You know, there are Zacchaeuses are living in alliance today. We don't know it because we don't recognize that maybe they're out there. But they're there. They're sitting in a tree. And they're saying, I want to see Jesus. I mean, think about the different people in the Bible that God was already working in their heart, like Cornelius and Lydia down by the river and Zacchaeus. I mean, there's people out there. They don't know the Bible. They don't know what to do as a Christian. They just know there's something that's wrong in their life, something that needs to be made right somehow. And you have the answer. You actually have the answer. You've been called as a witness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians that God is actually in us reconciling the world to himself. Imagine that. And the Great Commission has been given to every one of us. I would like us, as we close in prayer, not to put anybody under a guilt trip. But if the Lord has called us to do this, ask yourself, am I doing it? I mean, we're called to walk in obedience to Jesus, amen? So you might want to ask yourself, I wonder if I've made a disciple. Have I made a disciple? Not have I loved somebody. We should love people. We should show kindness. We should, tell people about Jesus. But he said, go and make disciples. Have I made a disciple? If you haven't, then to say, Lord, I want to do that. I want to make a disciple. That's what you called me to do. There's no greater fulfillment in your walk with Christ than to do what it is he created you to do. You might feel unworthy. You might feel not holy enough. You might feel not educated enough. And I love the story of the man who was demon-possessed living in the tombs. Remember? Yeah. Jesus cast the demons out of him and he said, Jesus, I want to travel with you. Jesus said, go back and tell your family the good things the Lord has done. I mean, that guy didn't have to go to seminary to go out and tell people about Jesus. The demon was cast out of him today, and he went today and told his family the good things the Lord has done. And all you got to do is go tell people what good thing the Lord has done in your life. Lift up the name of Jesus, and you'll find not every person you talk to, but every once in a while, you're going to come across as Zacchaeus, somebody that's looking. And you're going to go saying, hey, I'm coming to your house today. And you go over to their house, and as you sit and share the things of the kingdom of God, they're going to repent, and they're going to get saved, and their life is going to be changed. The Lord wants to do that with every one of us.